Do please be seated. And do find a Bible again. Should be one near you in the pews or in the chairs. And turn to Isaiah chapter 53. Megan's going to come and read. We've been working our way through this chapter through this past week. Started last Sunday. And going quite slowly to see what this chapter, this piece of Old Testament prophecy, helps us to see, to understand about Easter. So we're almost at the end. Megan's going to read to us verses 10 to 12, Isaiah chapter 53.
Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days. And the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong. Because he poured out his life unto death, and was numbered with the transgressors, for he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors.
One of the best games that our youth group plays on a Friday night is essentially a game of hide and seek in the dark. Prison break, it's often called. You have to get from one end of the church halls to the other end of the church in the dark without getting caught. There's various different sort of ways this game can work, but it's a brilliant game. Imagine being in here in the dark, in a game of hide and seek. Imagine trying to get from the other end of the buildings in the dark to the other end without getting caught. It's quite a challenge. Or it was until the new fire escape lights were put up. But there's obstacles in the way. There's chairs, there's tables. And it's often those who've been at the church longest who know their way around better because they've seen it in the light. They know what this room's like. They know where the gaps are. They know where the places to hide are. Through the halls out the back, they know what's in the way. They can avoid those obstacles because they've seen it in the light. Seeing something in the dark is different to seeing something in the light. And Old Testament prophecy, what we've just had read to us here in Isaiah, is a little bit like that in terms of this is something in the dark. You can kind of make things out. As it's read, there are perhaps some links to things that we know and understand. But we need someone to switch the lights on for us to see it properly, to see what there really is here in this passage. It's sort of shrouded in a bit of mystery. We've been working our way through this chapter, and over this past week, we've had the light switched on, as it were, to fully understand what was Isaiah on about? What was this passage saying? This was written down 700 years before Jesus came, but it took Jesus coming and what the New Testament tells us to turn the lights on so that we can see, this is what this means. Well, we're going to see together, hopefully, two things from these verses this morning. Do keep those verses open. Isaiah 53, verses 10 to 12. Two things, two truths that we need to know today. The first is this. God is committed to you. God is committed to you. Some of us question that. We think of our own lives and what's going on. And we're, like many people in the Bible do, quite right to ask the question, really? God is committed to me? Prove it. Well, look at verse 10. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. The Bible is very clear. What happened that first Easter was no accident. What happened that first Easter wasn't that something bad happened and God had to find a way out to turn things around and react. No, what happened that first Easter was all part of God's plan. It was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. It was God's plan that Jesus would go to the cross. It was God's plan, as we've seen through Isaiah 53, that Jesus would be rejected. Remember that last Sunday? It was God's plan, as we thought on Thursday night this week, that Jesus would suffer. It was God's plan, as we thought on Good Friday, that Jesus would be sacrificed. It was God's plan because God is committed to us. He was meeting our deepest need. Forgiveness. That we can be forgiven by God. Who do you consider to be tough guys? If I was to say to you, name a tough guy. Someone who you wouldn't see cry. Nothing would faze them. They were tough. Maybe it's not a guy, maybe it's a girl. Tough, resilient. Well, this week I've seen four tough guys cry. Have you seen them cry? Here they are. Australian cricketers. They are tough guys. These guys, if you go back over the last 12 months, these are tough men. Hardened, hard-nosed. Nothing can wear them down. They keep going. They're Australian. And they're cricketers. But this is them this week. Tears on TV. Now, most of us looking at this think, how ridiculous. It's a game. But they've been broken. They've been crying this week because they were caught out cheating at the game. They've been crying this week because they faced punishment from cheating. They've been crying this week because they felt their shame. What have they done? They let the nation down. They've been crying this week because of the punishment they'll face. They're not allowed to play for their country for the next year. Weeping. Well, the Bible tells us this is us. You see, we've all broken the rules. Not of cricket, some of us might have done, but in life, God has laid down how we're to live. And we've not lived his way. We've let down the one we're supposed to represent. They were representing a nation. We're supposed to represent God. God has made us, he's put us on earth to represent him. To show something of what he is like. And even just think of this past week. If God is like me, what does that mean he's like? Have I represented him well? The way I've treated others, the way I've looked to my own needs or wants or desires. And the Bible's clear that we're held account. And God's punishment for us is severe. You see, we were trying to think on Thursday night that the punishment for something it always shows us how bad something is. So for these cricketers, they're not allowed to play for a whole year. Because what they've done is let their nation down. There's something bad. But God says there's something much worse for us. If we've gone against him, if we've shut him out, if we've not thought of him, if we've not loved him, if we've not honored him, if we've not loved people as we should, then we face his judgment, we face his wrath. And that will make us look like this. But God is committed to us. God doesn't want the story to end there. No, verse 10, it was the Lord's will to crush him, not us. He sent Jesus to take our punishment, to take our shame, to enable our forgiveness. And the danger is we sort of get this idea of the Bible that God, the God of the Old Testament, he's sort of a bit mean and nasty. And Jesus comes along and he's innocent and, he kind of had to do this, but didn't want to. No, look at the middle of verse 12. Middle line, he poured out his life unto death. He also is committed to us. God the Father and God the Son are committed to us. God the Father in being willing to send his Son, the most famous verse in the Bible, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him may not perish but have life. And God the Son committed to us so much so that he was willing to go to the cross and die, to face our penalty, to take our punishment. We were thinking on Friday of that French policeman who stood in the place of the hostage and lost his life. And he willingly did that. He willingly stepped forward and said, no, let me get taken, you go free. And the Bible says, well, Jesus is just like that for us, willingly. God has done this for you. God the Father and God the Son is committed to you. No matter what is going on in your life, and the Bible doesn't say life will be easy. That last song, the new one that we sang, has that helpful balance of there's struggles in life. Life is hard. But know this, God is committed to you. More than you can imagine. The Apostle Paul picks this up. He understands this. He says this. Romans chapter 8, he says this. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? He goes on to say that there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. He is for you. He is committed to you. He is. Do you know that this morning? Do you believe that? Are you still trusting that? He has met your deepest need. Secondly, Isaiah 53, it's not all about us. It's about Jesus. God is committed to Jesus, secondly. He's committed to him. You see, the cross wasn't the end. In Isaiah 53, we get this trailer that Jesus will be raised. Again, in Isaiah 53, it's slightly mysterious. It's in the dark. The light hasn't been switched on. It's only when we get to the Gospels, as we had in our reading earlier, that we see, that's what this means. Now, the resurrection was a real surprise to those who were there at the time. They did not expect Jesus to come back from the dead. But they should have known. Because Jesus had told them at least three times that this is what was going to happen. And the Old Testament said it. And here in Isaiah 53 it says it. Hear of Jesus. Look at verse 10 again. It was the Lord's will to crush him, to cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days. And the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. You see, that's sort of slightly cloaked. But this promise that he will be raised. After he's suffered, he will see the light of life. Jesus who died, risen again. Who's in Starters, our youngest Sunday club group? Anyone in Starters? There's a few of you. You sing a song about Jesus. It's quite short. Jesus is alive today. Do you know that song? Some of the adults are nodding. Did I put the words to this? I can't remember. No. Oh, it's quite easy. Jesus is alive today. Jesus is alive today. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive today. Can we sing that? Oh, it is there. Paul was just checking, I knew it. Help me out, because I'm not very musical. Jesus is alive today. Jesus is alive today. Jesus is alive, very much alive. Jesus is alive today. Now, in starters, they have to sing it really loudly. You ready? And I've overheard them in starters. It is loud. Linda, help me out, because I was out of tune just then.
Jesus is alive today.
Jesus is alive today. Jesus is alive, very much alive. Jesus is alive today.
And that's trailered here. Isaiah 53, after he has suffered, he will see the light of life. He died, but he's risen. He's alive. God is committed to Jesus, that he didn't stay dead. He was risen. He is alive. And that means any questions we have about death or life must focus on him. What does he say? What does he teach? What does he say about life after death? You know, there's so many myths. I've taken 4 funerals in the last 3 weeks. And you pick up from people so many myths about death and what happens when we die. But Jesus is alive. He died but is risen. He's got the answers. He can tell us. What does he say? And not just God is committed to Jesus so he is risen. God is committed to Jesus so he is honored. That's where Isaiah 53 goes next. Verse 12, therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he'll divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death. This Jesus who was killed on a cross in shame and rejection, this Jesus who was buried in a tomb, this Jesus who came back to life, this Jesus, God says, I will raise to be honored. Again, it's sort of darkness. It's shrouded here. It's not quite clear what this means. The New Testament turns the lights on. Here's the Apostle Paul in Philippians. It's a bit small for you to follow, some of you probably, but listen to me as I read these words to us. Paul is teaching Christians how to treat one another. Says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, notice, same word as Isaiah. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Lights on, New Testament. This Jesus who was killed, this Jesus who was buried, this Jesus who was raised to life, he is now Lord, he is now King. And one day he will reappear and we will face him and we will all bow the knee. Will you do that willingly? Will you do that expectantly? Knowing who he is, loving him for what he's done for you? Or will you do it fearfully and regretfully? Wishing if only you'd listened to those around you who were telling you, this Jesus, he's special. He's done something for you. Regretting that now it's too late. Looking like those Australian cricketers, covered in shame and despair. Or bowing the knee with a smile and a delight that it's him, the one who loved you and died for you and has saved you. Are you ready for that day? Isaiah 53 ends with these words, "For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Sort of long words at the end of Isaiah 53. But we get the first line there. He bore the sin of many. He took our sin, the things we've done wrong. He took them on himself, took them off us. He made intercession. He spoke to God on our behalf. For us, the transgressors, the rule breakers, the ones who aren't good enough for God on our own. Are you included at the end of Isaiah 53? Is that you? Has he bore your sin? Is he making intercession for you? Because without him, you've got no hope. But with him, you've got all you need. Three weeks' time, we're going to have a baptism service here for those who are trusting in Jesus. Maybe that's you. Maybe you've come to trust in Jesus this year. And you know that he tells you to get baptized to show people publicly that this is what you believe. There's an opportunity coming up. Speak to me or Chris. Tell us if you think that's you. And you want to get baptized. Maybe you need to find out more. Ask more questions. Look into this more. We watched a film on Friday night about a journalist who looked into this. Is this really true? Did Jesus really die? More importantly, was he really raised to life? And this man came to see that he couldn't disprove this. When you line up all the facts, the logical conclusion is Jesus was raised to life. And if that's true, we're not fools here this morning on April Fool's Day. Because this is true. This is real. This matters more than anything else in the whole world. God is committed to you. Please hear me say that to you this morning. That is true. God is committed to you. He sent his son to die for you. And God is committed to Jesus. He has raised him. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. And we will all bow the knee before him. Are you ready? Are you ready for that day? Let's have a moment of quiet just to reflect, to think, perhaps to pray, before we sing our closing song.